either somebody who writes for The Simpsons is just psychic and they've not admitted it, they have a time travel machine, or they're just so tapped in and they have no idea.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 87.
Woo! I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet, obviously.
And we created Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, manifestation, and magic more relatable and
fun.
And we're here back on Zoom, and I nailed the intro, even though we're not in our seats together. Very proud.
I know. I already miss you very much.
I really was looking forward to today. I was very heartbroken, but it's okay. We're just being extra safe because there's some sickness floating around. We're both healthy and happy though, so it's all right. But we're here live on Zoom.
Yes, together again.
Together again. And we have a very fun episode planned. We're going to chat about all of the times that The Simpsons predicted the future and our theories about that. I'm excited. Juliet did most of the research so that I could be more surprised, so I'm very excited. But before we dive into that, Juliet, what's new with you?
Well, I made my little list.
Oh, good.
So, let me back up. What's happening is I'm doing the thing where as we build and grow and scale our business, I'm like working these crazy long 14-hour days back to back to back. And I'm like, this is not the reason I left my other job.
Right.
So yesterday I said, that's it. You're getting in the car. You're going to get your favorite bagel sandwich. I went to the beach. I read a book. I put my feet in the water. And I was so happy because I always wanted to be the kind of person who could just go to the beach on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a personality trait to me.
And you literally always say Tuesday, too, by the way. Whenever you, we've talked about this many times, and the example is always Tuesday, and you went on a Tuesday.
Yes. So I think I might make Tuesdays, like, a little special Juliet outing day, because I need to continue to work hard and be ambitious, but I could also rest more and be more in the divine feminine and relax, know that I deserve it, I'm worthy of it. It's you know, everything that I want to finish does not need to get done today.
Yeah.
So I had this really just lovely beach day, and it was just magical. It was just magical to actually take some time and just be.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, you know, I've been having the past couple weeks, it's like I'm just, everything's very heightened. So either I'm feeling anxious in a more heightened way, or I'm excited in a more heightened way, or I'm just restless. That's sort of been like the general feeling. And so last night I put on this song called Remember How You Fell in Love, or Remember How I Fell in Love. Look it up. It's really good. It's by Natalie something. And I danced my heart out in my living room. And then I wanted to play piano. I mean, it was just such an expressive day, and I needed it so bad. So that was my yesterday. I am still being followed around by wasps. Have we talked about
this? Oh, no. I didn't know you were being followed around by wasps.
Yeah, I'm dreaming about them. I'm seeing them everywhere. One this morning just came up to my window and hovered and just stared.
And just have
made sure I saw it.
Have you looked up what like wasp symbolism is? Of course.
Of course.
So give us the deets.
There's a few things, and I think this may lead into something that's new with you in a moment or two. But wasps are extremely protective. They're extremely protective. They're not aggressive. They're not aggressive unless somebody comes for their home. Otherwise, they truly leave you alone.
Yep.
They really just mind their own business. They're very smart. I learned a lot about wasps. Welcome to the Wasp Podcast.
A wonderful world of wasps.
Tune in today. The things I looked up, it said productivity, courage, taking control, new beginnings. But the protective part, what's amazing about wasps, unlike bees, they don't run out of sting. Wasps can sting an infinite number of times, and they only do it in the defensive. They only do it to protect. Right. Otherwise, they're busy, they're working, they're minding their own business, they're taking care of their families, they're getting stuff done.
Sounds a little like somebody I know.
Yeah, I don't know about that, baby. And so I just feel like I'm connected. And it's not an animal that I've ever liked. I mean, when they come near me, I'm like, don't sting me.
Right.
But I'm noticing them everywhere. Okay. Absolutely everywhere.
We respect them. Feeling,
yeah. And they're these like amazing little architects. They're so... they're pretty powerful. So I love learning more about any animal that seems to be following me. I'm like, what are your messages? So that's been pretty special. And then I think I sort of briefly washed or brushed on this. Somebody in Victor's family passed away and we were at the house. We've been spending a lot of time there. And this hawk keeps landing in the backyard and just watching over all of us.
Oh, wow.
Which in like the history of that house, hawks don't just land in the backyard and hang out.
They don't come down low very often. They stay high. If they land, they stay high up in the trees. Because I had for a while a hawk that kept landing across the street from me, like on the ground. And I looked it up and they're like, they don't come down low. Like, that's very rare. Yeah. So it's definitely an interesting little sign.
Yeah, I'm just feeling all these, like, you know, even more enhanced animal connections.
Yeah.
And then, just trying to figure out. I think whenever somebody does die, it's a very sad loss. And then I think it also reminds me for like the following 3 months just nonstop that like that's just gonna happen to everyone I know, and including me. And it's sort of like I just start to get a little anxious and spirally about it, because that's sort of the beauty of life, is we remember that and then we forget.
Yeah.
And then we remember it and then we forget. So I'm in kind of a moment of remembering it, and I've been crying a lot more, and you know me, it's not like a not a thing I do often these days. So I've just had a lot moving through me. And then in Quantum Goddess, we just finished up the Align Your Life week. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing so much cleaning out, so much organizing, deleting, shredding, creating space. So that felt really, really good. So the only thing really new with me is I've been working a ton. I went to the beach. I'm seeing wasps everywhere. And I'm feeling like the Grinch when his heart grows all those sizes. Oh my gosh. And that I'm the protective wasp.
Yes.
What's new with you on that note?
Oh boy. Well, okay. I want to share this story because I learned some big lessons, and I was really faced with, like, I don't know even how to put this. Like, I was faced with something that felt so unfair and so uncalled for, and to turn around and, like, see, like, how can I take responsibility for this, right? Like, we empower ourselves when bad shit happens to us, and we say, how can I take responsibility in this situation? Even though I very easily in this situation could be, like, put it all on that other person. But I've been trying to really examine what happened here and my part I played in it, and so I want to explain some drama, some tea that went down in my life. And you know, this person was okay. I made notes because when you're talking about something really emotional and dramatic, it just helps me to. I wrote it all down, so I'm gonna look down at my phone. Okay, so the situation here is that I recently made a friend at the workout studio I go to. This was a few months ago, maybe in like May, so not very long ago. And so we hung out like four or five times outside of like seeing each other at workout class, like once or twice a week. So this is a new friend. Haven't spent a ton of time with them. I think every single time I was the one to say, hey, do you want to do something? You know, I don't make a lot of new friends in real life. Like I keep to myself. I don't like having a lot of things on my social calendar, despite my wild and crazy outgoing nature, on here, apparently. I keep to myself quite a bit in real life. And like, so this was exciting for me. I was like, oh, I have someone that I can hang out with once in a while here in my area. Juliet's like an hour plus away in traffic. Most of my friends are here in LA. So, hey, great. I have someone nearby I can grab coffee with, whatever. Well, so, okay. So this person very quickly, you know, we like followed each other on Instagram when we met, and then they like really liked everything we did here. So they joined our Patreon community, and they bought our Patreon only retreat that we have happening for the new year in San Diego, and they joined Quantum Goddess. They like just very quickly dived into like every aspect of this community, and I was like, whoa, okay, great, like wow, what an honor, like this person I just met is just loving everything I do. But for sure, it was a little like, oh, whoa, like I made a new friend, but now this person's like my client. This person's spending a lot of money in my business. And so it was a dynamic I hadn't had before. And so it was like the energy was a little interesting there for me, right? Like I was a little like, oh, and when we hung out, I did feel like I was giving a lot of advice, almost like I was coaching. And so, you know, I could have spoken up about that. I could have placed a boundary and said, hey, like when we hang out, like let's talk about other stuff. I don't want to talk about work stuff, you know? And I do recall having some alarms go off when one of the first times we hung out, she just made a comment like about like, oh, being nervous because she like watched all of our episodes and just sort of that like fan energy, which feels weird to say, but like, I did kind of have a weird feeling around that point where I was like, oh, like this person kind of like is putting me on a pedestal that like I don't want to be on. Like I want to just hang out and be chill and have a casual friendship. But I was just like kind of like brush it off, like whatever. And so this person had a very specific view of me, and that view being of what she sees on this podcast episode and on my Instagram, which is one facet of who I am, right? Like when we're recording this, it's me and Juliet alone in a room with an iPhone. So it's me talking to my best friend. You know, it's not me talking to someone I just met that I've hung out with a couple times. It's a different dynamic. And I can be very shy in real life. It depends. It really depends. I don't have control over it. Sometimes I can enter a room and be the life of the party, and sometimes I enter a room and I am in the corner and I barely talk. I can be very, very shy in real life. But this was very off-putting to this person, that I wasn't outgoing and bubbly and exactly how I was online when like we spent time together. And you know, I want, like, I, inside me wants to be outgoing all the time. That's like my favorite version of me, is outgoing and bubbly and you know, whatever. But this upset this person that I was not this person when I was around them. And maybe that was also, should have been an alarm for me to go, oh, like, I don't feel outgoing and bubbly around this person. Maybe that says something. But this person got upset because she like asked us for a refund, and we were like, you know, we've had to uphold this policy in our past. It's a very clear stated very clearly, like, there's no refunds for this. Be mindful before you buy. And we've had to in the past uphold that with people, and it's not a fun part of owning a business. But when you own a business and you have a policy, you know, unless there's something really, really something going on, like we have to uphold our policies. It's not fair. And I felt like this person was taking advantage of the fact that I was her so-called friend and expected me to make an exception. And it's not just my business, it's our business, right? And so her asking for this favor, and Juliet and I having to say, you know, it's not really fair to ask us, we have to uphold this policy, turned into her saying really mean and hurtful things about how I was so fake and I made her uncomfortable and I'm not who I say I am and all of these things. And I was like, whoa, I'm just trying to uphold a policy in my business. And now you're attacking me as a person and saying you don't like me. Like, okay. And like, so Juliet and I both hopped on the phone with her, had a conversation and said, we feel for you. This is what we can do. You know, offered some compromises, tried to make the situation right. She apologized for saying the hurtful things. We said, okay, great. Thought everything was fine. We talked it out. All good. And then, literally yesterday at the time of this recording, I went back to my workout class. And this is the first time I was going to see her since that happened. And so, you know, I went to that class knowing she'd be there and had decided, like, okay, Sadie, you're just going to, you know, smile and say hi and give her a hug and just show her that everything's fine and you're looking forward to continuing to have her be a part of your community. And the energy was not that at all. Like, when I saw her, I smiled and waved and thought I made it really clear that, like, I was good with the situation. But before I had a chance to catch up with her after class, like, she was gone. And so I was like, okay, I'll think up the right thing to say to text this person and just say, like, oh, you know, I was going to say hi and give you a hug and ask about your trip or whatever. And she ended up texting me first and just saying, you know, I was very emotional. It was hard for me to see you at that class, whatever. So I responded very sweetly and, you know, I tried to take full responsibility for my part in the situation. And I said, hey, look, you know, I'm sorry that I ever made you feel uncomfortable. You know, it's a dynamic of a friend turning into a client, and not only a friend, but like a new friend that we haven't fully formed a relationship. So for, you know, I could have spoken up that I was having trouble figuring that out. So, you know, I'm sorry. And you expect the other person to go, thank you, I'm also sorry. I'm sorry for saying mean things, right? That's what I expected. But that's not what happened. She started ranting once again, but even meaner and even more so about how fake I was, just fake, unauthentic. Just really striking me at the core value of like who I am in my business of wanting to help people, especially women, just find their authentic selves and learn how to feel safe expressing that, because that's been my journey, is like of someone who was so painfully shy but always wanted to be a shining star. And I thought I was reflecting back on like my life and, you know, oh, am I fake that like I'm outgoing online and not as much in real life all the time? And I was like, no, I've always been sort of this dichotomy, this oxymoron. When I was a kid, I would like cry. I didn't want to go to school because I was so shy and didn't want to be around the kids. I just was so uncomfortable. But I was also in dance classes, and my favorite thing in the world was recitals and performance days. Put me in the spotlight and I will shine. And I loved the applause, you know, and all that. But then after I got off stage and had to have people come up to me and say, good job, Sadie. Oh, I hated that part. So it's always been this way. This is who I am. And I'm sure people listening can think of, oh my gosh, yeah, I have that thing too, where they're kind of these opposing parts of myself. And it doesn't mean you're fake. We're allowed to be multifaceted beings. So long story short, this person, you know, had to be removed kindly from our community. She's getting that refund she wanted so badly, so I hope that was worth it. And it really hurt to be so misunderstood, and it really hurt to feel like, what did I do to trigger such a emotional response from somebody? Because I mean, this person was really going in on me, and I was really responding kindly and trying to say, like, hey, like, what is this really about? You know, like, this can't be about me being a little shy. I don't understand. And so I am aware that this is a projection of something this person is going through being put on me. And I did a lot of self-reflection, and I wrote down some life lessons. I wrote, here are some goddamn motherfucking life lessons to lay down the law for yourself. If you're in a situation, or if you're somebody, you know, we help a lot of babes build businesses, and this is a fear. This was definitely one of my greatest fears, is for something like this to happen where I'm so severely misunderstood. And it's a part of the job, and it doesn't happen a lot. And this happened because this is a person that came into my life and then saw me online and didn't like that there was, I didn't act around her the way I act with my best friend. That's pretty much what I can think is what on the surface this looks like. But here are my life lessons. Number one, we are multifaceted beings. You can be shy and outgoing. You can be a good girl and a bad bitch. You can be sweet as pie and you can take no shit. It doesn't matter. You can be a fucking oxymoron and that does not make you fake. We all have so many different parts of ourselves, and in different situations at different times, we feel safe to express certain parts of ourselves, and in certain situations, we might make ourselves smaller, and that's okay. That's life. Number two, you do not owe anyone a certain version of yourself. Be who you want to be in that moment. Be honest with yourself. Number three, it is not your responsibility how other people view you. It only matters how you view you. Just make sure you're being really fucking honest with yourself. If you can look at yourself, I'm looking at myself in this situation and I'm doing my best to take full responsibility. And you know what? I feel really good about what I did and what I said and how I stood up for myself and the boundaries I placed. So I still view myself with a lot of integrity. You know, I could have inside emotionally, there was some words stirring around and some not so nice things in my head, but I held my tongue and I approached the situation with love. And I let myself have those moments of thinking those things to express that anger, but not to that person, right? I can still view myself with integrity in this situation. And finally, taking full responsibility empowers the fuck out of you. I've really tried my hardest in this situation to see it from her eyes, to take what I know about her life and her past, and I can see the situation with a lot of love, and I know where it comes from. So, you know, I tried to say, I'm sorry for any miscommunication. I'm sorry that I didn't live up to your expectations. I'm sorry that, you know, I could have spoken up about a little. I mean, it seemed so small to me, but that's okay. I tried my best. And so I don't have to continue to carry this forward with me. I am going to feel the emotions of feeling hurt and feeling misunderstood. And then I'm going to let that shit go because I know I did my best in this situation. So this absolutely would have shaken me to my core a few years ago, and it definitely has shaken me. It has rattled me. It's probably one of my greatest fears come to life, truly, because it took me a long time to be brave and show up online as the bubbly, outgoing, shining star version of me that I really want to be. And it's a testament to, one, being in a partnership with Juliet and her. We reflect off of each other. And so she's someone I feel so comfortable and so me and so safe with. I'm gonna get emotional. But also the community we've built and all of you, because you all make me feel so safe and so seen. And I feel comfortable being the version of me that I like, the wildest version of me that I just love to be. And even if that's not always the case of being able to express that outside of here in this little bubble we've created for ourselves, it feels so fucking good that I get to be that version of me here. I love being that version of Sadie. And little by little, she emerges into the real world in moments where we've been invited to be filmed for TV and do big scary things. And oh my gosh, I mean, me and Juliet both felt like we were gonna throw up before some of these big opportunities. But little by little, this person's exiting this bubble and getting to shine even brighter. But I just want to say, you know, especially because we had to, you know, share with our community in our Patreon and in our program what went on, and just the love and support and understanding from everyone. So thank you, because I cried just as many happy tears as I cried sad tears about this situation, truly. Like, you all really made me feel loved. And you know, I didn't fit into a box that this person, or a pedestal that this person put me on, and it's not my fault that I was placed on that pedestal. I never want to be on that pedestal. Our community is always about, like, being relatable and connecting with each other and seeing eye to eye, and it's not my fault if someone misunderstood that. I did my best. I don't know why, but I know that this really had nothing to do with me. I really think, and it, you know, it's about projection of something going on in that person's life, and I think that we were meant to meet and meant to connect to hopefully inspire some deep inner healing for this person. So I'm sending all the love, all the forgiveness. You know, I'm this person's definitely not going to ever come back into my life, but I hope that this is a sort of turning point for them and they can learn something from it. But this is me, and I know all of you love and accept that, and I'm just so grateful for you all, and that my inner child gets to shine like the little star she always wanted to be, and I'm just, thank you all for that. So that's what happened. It was fucking awful. It did not feel good. But thank you for letting me get all that out. And I hope that if any of you are in a situation where someone's just being mean to you and it feels really uncalled for, you can view it through the eyes of love and let it, you know, feel the emotion that comes with it. But then, and then just let it brush off of you and move forward. So, whew. That's what's new with me. Learning big life lessons.
Oh my gosh. So I'm going to add some things.
Yes. Go so for it.
The first is, I was talking to Sadie and I was like, here's the thing with Sadie. You have to play the long game. You have to play the long game. I worked with Sadie 4 to 5 days a week, long days, for over a year, and we still were not terribly close, but I wanted to be. Believe you me, it was on my mind. And then when she quit, I was like, now is the time. Now I can attack with love. And even then it took more and more time, and we've had, like, and you know, honestly, I respect that when people just sort of jump in and, like, somebody's their best friend, like actual best friend, after meeting once or twice, it concerns me. I'm like, yes, we have a besties community and it's the best friend energy.
Yeah.
But, like, when you meet somebody in real life, like, it takes time to build trust and a relationship, and, like, it's okay for things to grow the way that they grow. And it was sort of like this frustration of, how come in a few weeks it's not what took 3 years, 4 years,
right?
So that's something I wanted to mention, that Sadie is a slow burner and a tough and beautiful nut to crack.
That I am.
It's been the honor of my life, the joy, the labor of love of my life, to crack this nut. I want to mention that. I want to mention, with, you know, we have a lot of business owners here. You are allowed to have policies, and as long as you state them clearly, you are allowed to uphold them. So there are some people who say you can get a refund within 24 hours, within 30 days. You know, most stores, you have a 30-day return policy. After that 30 days, if you go and try to return it, they say, oh, well, you know?
Yeah.
So we had, for our retreats, our Patreon exclusive retreats, we have a non-refundable policy because it is very expensive to book a villa for many days, to bring in private catering, to host workshops. I'm not even going to say the number. It's very expensive.
It's a huge investment on our part, and mm-hmm. we have to protect our business.
So when somebody comes to us and says, hey, I'd like that money back so that I can invest it in some other coach, that's just not the way that it works. And I'm sorry. And it sucks. And we've had situations where somebody couldn't come last minute and like, we just couldn't refund them. Like it's, you just have to, because this is, you know, this is our job. Mm-hmm. We don't go in and clock in somewhere. This is our job. And so we're very mindful about having our terms and conditions clear. And also, you know, we're very ethical in the way that we do sales. We don't shame or push anybody into a sale. If somebody says, this is not right for me, we say, no problem. And I'm sure there are dozens of people who could attest to that, that when they say, oh, I'm interested, but not right now or not this price, we say, okay, no problem. Yeah. There's no sneaky, pushy tactics. So nobody is cornered or forced into purchasing anything with us.
Well, and I also want to say that I knew this person in real life and I never once mentioned, oh, you should check this out. Oh, you should do that. I was very surprised every single time this person invested in a big ticket thing with us, because it was more than one big ticket, high ticket thing with us. And I was like startled both times, because I was like, oh, wow, I had no idea. I did not say a word. I would never push someone in real life who I had a relationship and say, hey, like, buy this, and it felt like she thought that was the case or something. Like, it didn't feel good. It felt yucky.
Yeah. So you're allowed to uphold your boundaries, because it's your livelihood. It's your livelihood. And if you go try to return something at any store after 30 days, 90 days, whatever it is, whatever their policy is, they're just going to say, so sorry. Like, that's just not what we do here. So I wanted to talk about just holding firm boundaries in that. When a small business owner, and not that I see us as a small business, but when any business owner upholds their boundary, it is very unfair to tell them that you must not believe in them or support them. Mm-hmm. Because it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with, we have a business to run, we have expenses to pay, and it's really just about protection. Something else I wanted to say was, when you come into our community, it really is a sacred space that we protect the shit out of.
Yes, fiercely.
And it's not about if somebody disagrees, if somebody has a different political opinion, if somebody has a different vaccine opinion. I really don't care about any of that. If somebody is disrespectful, inappropriate, or hurtful, particularly to us, you're gone. You're gone, because I don't want you talking that way to anybody else in the group. So it's, you know, we are not booting people out on a regular basis. In the history of our large Patreon, it has happened 2 times. Mm-hmm. And both times, it was just such an unbelievably obvious choice. And I felt like this time, for me, I was a little less attached to the situation. It just sort of felt like, oh, we've done this rodeo before, and this does not feel good, and this doesn't fly. And I wrote, when Sadie called me and was like, you know, oh my, like, just beside herself naturally, I said, let me just handle it. And the big mama bear energy came in, and I mm-hmm. said, you cannot speak to my business partner and best friend this way and expect to stay here. It's just not the way it's going to work. So it is, you know, a a privilege to be in any community. You talk to any group leader like that, they're gonna show you the door.
Yeah.
So I just want to share this because if you are nervous about entering a space with a lot of women and a lot of people, okay, and you maybe have some bad experiences with that, when we sniff that out, when there is a term violated, that's it. Goodbye. We protect you so fiercely. And it's really a zero tolerance policy. And this, we gave this person a chance. We got on the phone. I said, it sounds like you're hurting. I don't understand where this is coming from. And in the future, and I just think I'm going to state this, if this should ever happen again, where somebody needs to go, we're just going to remove them. There will not be an announcement. There will not be a conversation. Because sometimes people just like leave because their financial situation changes, or they get busy, or they start school, whatever. We don't make an announcement about that. I don't think we ever need to make an announcement again. I think they will just be handled privately. If you're okay with that, because I think it rattles everybody and it's not fun.
Yeah.
But we're sharing all this for the bigger life lessons and for you to know that it is safe to uphold boundaries in your own business, in your own world, in your own space. If something doesn't feel good, you know, there's probably something to look at there, and there's probably a line you can draw and a choice you can make. So, you know, I think for us, collectively, and in the next coming months, years, we're going to be in front of a lot of eyes, and they're going to have a lot of opinions, and we're not going to meet people's expectations. And there's going to be a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to call it in, but it's just, I mean, we're already getting it on a tiny level. Like, people leave comments saying, like, you know, turn to Jesus or whatever.
I love those comments.
I know. Thank you for the engagement. God bless you. Somebody left one recently and I said, have a beautiful day. And they said, you too. But it's like, how can we continue to show up as our most authentic selves while being soft, while having thick skin?
Yep.
And it's an interesting balance. It's a very interesting balance to navigate all of those things at once. But we're just going to get better and better at it. And I'm really proud of you at how you handled it. You handled it really well. And I'm happy it's behind you.
Thank you. I think at the end of the day, the biggest takeaway from this, and what I've really been trying to live my life by, because this will help your relationship, especially if you live with your partner, this will help friendships, this will help you in business, is just to not take shit personally. Mm-hmm. And like, that's it. So whether it's, I mean, your partner driving you up the wall because you say, you know, babe, I really like when the pillows look nice on the couch, and they continue to leave them looking messy all the time, and it's, you want to take it personally, like, they must not care that it's not personal. In this case, it felt very personal because this person was saying how she didn't like me, basically. But I know, really, truly, it's not personal, and it's something else that's going on with them. So if you can move through life just not taking shit personally, take the time to examine. Like, if it is a pattern in your life, if tomorrow another person comes up to me and says, Sadie, you're fake, maybe I need to spend more time examining this. This is the first time anyone's ever said this to me, so I'm not too concerned at this point. But if there's a pattern, you need to take a look, because it's probably you. But most of the stuff in our lives that come through and really, like, make us feel icky, they make us feel not good, or they annoy us or anger us, like, it's not personal. Just shrug it off. It's not personal. It's not personal. It's not personal when my partner doesn't do that thing I asked. They forgot. They got distracted. Just remind mm-hmm. them again. You know, it helps in every facet of life. Don't take shit personally.
And I loved your big lesson about just, we are complex people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are both introverted and extroverted. You know, mm-hmm. I'm definitely on paper, I am a 100% extrovert. If I take the test, I'm a 100% extrovert. But my social battery drains after about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Which would make me more introverted. So it's like there's all these sides of us. And part of doing a show is that you are going to show up as the more entertaining version of yourself.
Yeah.
Or it would be an extremely boring show.
Right.
Nobody, even the funniest, greatest, best people, those people aren't on 24/7. It would be so exhausting.
And it would be fake if I was always that way all of the time. That would be fake. Because that's not me.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
oh, man.
Sending, you know, much love to this person, much healing. I sort of feel like it was just, I don't want to say wrong place, wrong time, but I don't know, because you are the least fake person I've ever met. You're very honest about your strengths, your quote unquote flaws. Like, you're just so genuine inside and out. So
thank you.
Oh, well, we're not for everybody, and everybody's not for us. And may we all find the people who are for us. How about that?
Absolutely. Yay.
All right.
And if you meet me in real life, don't be surprised if I'm boring.
Did you know the Simpsons are psychic?
Okay, let's dive in. Enough is enough. 40 minutes. We're ready to dive in.
We've processed. We've shared some life lessons. Let's get to the good stuff.
Let's get to the juicy stuff. Okay, tell me some startling things, Julia, and I'll react.
Okay, so I did not realize how many there were, how accurate they were, and just how spooky they are. Either somebody who writes for The Simpsons is just psychic and they have not admitted it, they have a time travel machine, or they're just so tapped in and they have no idea. They're like, that's crazy, but they just certainly are.
I think, hasn't the show been on air for like over 20 years, or is it like over 30 years? It's been a really long time.
It's over 30 years, because some of these episodes were like 1995,
1993.
Yeah.
So that's what I think, you know, I know shows have like a writer's room, there's multiple people, but there's one person that's been there the whole time and they don't know they're psychic. But I bet, or maybe they do know they're psychic and this is just a big joke on us all, but I bet if there's people that come and go in that writer's space, and if we really took the time to dig through who's always been there, we could figure out who it was.
So I'm just going to start. Oh, and I also want to say, this is a hot tip. If you are ever forced into karaoke and you don't like doing karaoke, you don't want to do it, but they're like, you got to get up there, you lost a bet, whatever it is, pick the Simpsons theme song, because you just go, the Simpsons, and that's the whole song. That's the whole song. And then it's all instrumental.
There you go. There hot you go. Tip. Hot tip. Hot tip of
spicy
the day.
Spicy hot tip. Okay. Spicy. So did you know that the Simpsons predicted FaceTime?
How? Tell me more.
So
what year?
1995. Season 6, episode 19. There was an episode where they went to the future and Lisa was talking to her mother over a picture phone.
Wow.
And it looked exactly like FaceTime, but they kept calling it the picture phone.
The picture
phone. That same episode. And the FaceTime did not come about until 2010.
And when the episode was 93, you said?
95
and so 15 years. Wow.
In that same episode, they had a quote unquote smartwatch. It was like an Apple Watch, and they were talking into it and telling it commands and stuff. And that came to life 19 years later. So that was like a true glimpse into the future.
That's so funny that, like, you know, when I mean, we were like 4 or 5 when that came out, but the you know, teens, adults that watched that episode at that time, they were like, wow, a watch, a picture phone, like, that's so far in the future. And like, all those people now have one and it's totally normal and they probably, you know, had that passing thought watching that show, that like, right. Oh wow, it, yeah, and in 2300 we'll have those.
So I have more technology.
Ooh.
In 1994, The Simpsons predicted the GoPro.
Oh.
There's an episode where Homer is asked to go film something, and they put a little camera on this big hat. And they say, that's where you're going to get the footage from. The GoPro did not come about until 20 years later. And that was season 5, episode 13.
Wow.
So they knew. They had like a glimpse into the technology.
So I think we should look at what the Simpsons are doing now and what we can invent. If you're smart, I know. Inventors go to Simpsons and they get their ideas because they're really good.
Secure your patents now. Not a bad idea.
Saw this on The Simpsons. It's time. It's go time.
So this one was so specific. So specific. So The Simpsons predicted faulty voting machines.
Oh.
So in 2008, they had an episode where Homer tries to vote for Obama on the computer at the voting place, the polling place, but it keeps clicking yes on McCain, and he's trying to click Obama and it's not working. Well, 4 years later in 2012, this is what happened in a number of places. The machines were either rigged or improperly programmed or who knows what, but there are videos of people trying to vote for Obama and it was checking on Mitt Romney. And there's a name I haven't heard in 10 years.
Oh my God, Mitt Romney.
And that was in season 20, episode number 4.
Wow.
But I thought it was interesting that they were like, people are going to try to vote for Obama and it's going to check the
wrong. Yeah, wow. Interesting.
I didn't, I always vote by mail. So I never, I think one time I went and I pressed the buttons and it was kind
I've always filled in bubbles. I've never been to one that had the technology. I've always done a paper ballot.
Okay, we'll have to maybe make a fun outing. I mean, I don't know how fun it's going to be.
Technology. I'm like, where have I been voting that they never have? Like, was I doing the wrong thing? Like, well, I mean, in the past few years, it's all been paper and mail things, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. They predicted, this might be the biggest one, they predicted that Trump would be president.
I think I've heard this one before. When did they?
Simpsons predicted that Trump would be president in the year 2000, and it happened in 2017.
Wow. That's crazy. I remember hearing that one when he became president. I think people were like, oh my God, The Simpsons.
It was season 11, episode 17. And there's this very spooky video where in the cartoon, you see Trump coming down this escalator and all these people are holding signs. But there is actual footage 17 years later of him going down an escalator, same angle, and all these people holding signs.
Ooh, I just got goosebumps. Oh.
Very spooky.
Very spooky.
They knew. The Simpsons knew.
I mean, this person is clairvoyant. They literally see the scene.
Mm-hmm. And then I did some more research and they said, oh, no, it's, we just have so many scenarios and we just think of the craziest thing. It's like, yeah, but you've done this a lot of time.
It's too many time. You know, okay, they've been a long running show. So I'll give them 1, 2, maybe 3 times coincidentally. But this is like, how many times? Like 20 times they've done this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not coincidence at that point.
In The Simpsons movie, they predicted in 2007 that the National Security Agency, the NSA, was snooping on the American people. There was a whole thing where they were looking for Homer and Marge in the movie, and the NSA was able to find them because they were tracking the phone calls and everything. So in 2013, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 6 years later, Edward Snowden came forward, the big whistleblower, and revealed that there was widespread mass surveillance happening on the American people.
Oh my God.
So The Simpsons called that one too. Okay, season 22, episode 1. The Simpsons predict the Nobel Prize winner in 2010, that person won the Nobel Prize 6 years later, 2016.
Like the exact person or someone inspired mm-hmm. by a person? The exact person? That's crazy.
The exact person. Okay, moving on.
How does that even, a Nobel Prize winner, how does that even end up in a Simpsons episode? Like, that's just so ridiculous, you know? I don't watch like The Simpsons, so.
They were doing some kind of bet.
Mm.
Okay. This one was interesting. Season 25, episode 16. The Simpsons knew, they prophesized that FIFA, which runs, I think, all the soccer games, mm-hmm. like the World Soccer Organization,
yeah.
was corrupt. And in 2015,
yeah.
so many heads of FIFA were arrested. There was all this fraud and spooky stuff that came forward. And they also predicted in that episode that Germany would beat Brazil. And that's exactly what happened.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember that circulating about the Simpsons predicting all that when that happened.
This next one is so bizarre. The Simpsons actually predicted the Higgs boson God particle years and years before it was like, quote unquote, discovered.
I remember seeing this one because I can see it right now. Homer's writing on a chalkboard, and the calculation on that, I think it ended up being like within like, it's like minusculely off or something. It's close enough where they're just like, they solved this years before the scientists solved this. How do you accidentally put the correct equation on a chalkboard? That's not a coincidence. I mean, you had to have seen that clairvoyantly and just been like, oh yeah, okay, this is, you know what I mean? Like, they're not doing the math in the writer's room. That one freaks me out.
That one's freaky. That one was predicted in 1998 and it was discovered mm-hmm. in 2012.
And they were like, it was right in front of us all along. That one is freaky. That one freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
The whole ass okay. equation. Oh my gosh.
I know. And they showed, the video I watched, they showed this still from that episode. It's not E equals MC squared.
It's a full.
It is a thick,
mm-hmm.
full
equation. Chalkboard full of numbers. And you think it's gibberish. You assume it's gibberish. It's not. It's the God particle.
Yeah, it explains how everything has mass.
Ridiculous.
The Simpsons also predicted the Ebola virus outbreak.
How? Tell me more.
In 1997, there was an episode where they read a bedtime story called Curious George and the Ebola Virus.
Okay.
And in 2014, we had a big Ebola outbreak. And Curious George tends to tell stories of things that kids would experience, like going to the zoo, going to the aquarium, going to the doctor.
Mmm. And the kids experienced the outbreak of Ebola virus. Okay.
Can I tell you something? I don't remember this being a big deal at all, which sounds so sheltered and silly. I remember hearing about it on the news, but it was nothing like the way COVID is a big deal.
I mean, yeah, now that we've experienced COVID, it was compared to that. What year was it again?
2014.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, I have a memory of it being in the news, but it felt very far away. Like, I had no concern that I was going to get it.
Right. It was like you saw it and you said, uh-oh, and then that was it.
Yeah, you were like, ooh, yikes. But yeah. You weren't like, I have to stay home.
Right, you'd be like, yeah, ugh, all right, let's get Chipotle.
Let's
like,
go to the mall stop. And lick the floor, you know? You're like, whatever.
It didn't stop anybody from anything. Okay, poor Curious George. All right, here's another one. Season 23, episode 10. In 2012, The Simpsons predicted that Greece would go broke.
Mm.
So they defaulted their debt. I think they're the only European country that's ever said like, yeah, we can't pay this back. So mm-hmm. let's just put like a default on it. So what happened was in this episode in 2012, there was a news show on The Simpsons, and on the ticker at the bottom, it says Europe puts Greece on eBay. And lo and behold, 2015, 3 years later, Greece was just donezo.
Greece was for sale on eBay.
It was for sale on eBay.
Wow.
I'd really like to go there. Okay.
It's 1,000 out of 10 would recommend. I want to go back. We should go back together.
Okay.
I went to Athens and Santorini. It's magical.
Goddesses in Greece.
Goddesses in Greece. We'll host a retreat there.
Yes. Okay. Here's another one. This one made me sad. So, did you know that the Simpsons... Let me try again. Did you know that the Simpsons predicted the tiger attack during the Siegfried and Roy show?
Ooh, I think I did hear about this, but I don't know. Give me the details.
Okay. So, in 1993... there was a Simpsons episode, season 5, episode 10, where they go to a show in Vegas. They didn't call it Siegfried and Roy, but it was very obviously Siegfried and Roy. They looked the same. They dressed the same. It was a show with white tigers. And then at the end, one of the tigers, trigger warning, mauls Roy. And it was like this really sad thing. I remember, by the way, being a little girl and seeing that show in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure I saw it. And looking back, that show was an absolutely terrible idea.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Because it's a tiger. And it's so sad because even if they love you, they're still a tiger.
Yeah.
And then in 2003, Roy, God bless him, was attacked by his own tiger and became partially paralyzed.
Oh, wow.
And it happened on stage.
It imagine being at show. That show. That would be, you'd be like, is this part of it? Like at first, then you'd be like, oh God, this isn't part of it. Like that'd be crazy.
I know. I'm going to talk to my mom. I'm pretty sure I saw the show. I'm pretty darn sure. Anyways.
Simpsons at it again.
There will never be a show like that again because it should never have been to begin with. But the Simpsons called it.
They knew.
Oh my God, I still have two more pages. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. So in 2012, the Simpsons predicted Lady Gaga's special Super Bowl performance.
Ooh.
They showed her in a very similar outfit coming in suspended from the air. I don't know if you remember, that's how she did it a couple years ago. Well, more than 5 years ago in 2017 when she was the Super Bowl halftime performer.
Wow.
That was episode 22, season 23. But it was like spot on and exactly how she performed.
Wow. That's cool.
And there's a lot of ways you can perform. Being right. suspended in the air is
Lady like, Gaga's choreography team was like, you know what would work? Did you see that episode of The Simpsons? That's it.
Right? Okay, here's another one. The Simpsons predicted that Disney would own Fox.
Oh.
Which was a big buyout.
That's interesting.
So in 1998, season 10, episode 5, they showed a sign of 20th Century Fox, and underneath it said a division of the Walt Disney Company.
Wow.
In 2017, what is that, 19 years later, they bought Fox.
Okay, so here's my question. Was there something to the plot that was important for it to say division of the Walt Disney Company in the episode?
I don't think so.
So that's just so weird that they would put that, you know, mm-hmm. why put that detail in there? It just, that's so weird. Because if it's not important to the plot, but they're like, put that there. And then it comes true. It's just strange.
It is weird. It is weird. Okay. So everybody knows that the Simpsons predicted September 11th, 9/11.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Oh. So
of all the ones I heard, I didn't hear this one. Oh my God, wait.
So this one really intrigued me because I was like, well, what did they predict? This one, I will say, is a little cryptic.
Mm.
It's not as, you know, clear cut as the others.
Okay.
So this is what it was. In 1997, season 9, episode 1, Bart Simpson is holding a brochure of some kind, and he wants to buy a ticket to go into New York City. And it says $9, and the nine is really big, and then right next to it is the Twin Towers. So it looks like it's 9/11.
Oh.
That one, I'm like, I think they were just drawing the city of New York.
Okay, so it's a, like, it's a little bit of a stretch to say that predicted it. But that is, I mean, it's an interesting note.
It was interesting, but this one felt like a stretch.
Yeah,
but it did. I mean, it could have been $10. It could have been any number, but it did look like 9/11.
That is interesting.
Yes. Okay. This one felt kind of specific. Okay, so in 1994, The Simpsons predicted autocorrect fails.
Oh, how?
So, which autocorrect was not a thing on our phones until 2007.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, didn't autocorrect always exist? But of course it didn't, because we didn't have the things that autocorrect exists on before. I didn't even think about that.
I remember when I was learning to type, you know, if you spelled a word wrong, it was just wrong.
And
that's
why
still spelling was so important.
And we're so used to it now. It's so normal that, like, sometimes in certain programs, it won't, autocorrect doesn't exist in it, and you're just typing away and you're like, oh, should I have to fix all this? Like, I think in Canva, autocorrect doesn't do anything.
Autocorrect is iffy because I think it processes it after the fact, because when I went in to sort of go through some of your old slides, there were like all these typos. And I was like, wouldn't it have said this? But I was like, no, it's weird.
Yeah.
There weren't that many. I'm exaggerating.
Never have typos. But you're so used to it. And then when it's not prominent, when it doesn't just change stuff for you, it's very off-putting. So to think back on a time with no autocorrect, wow.
So there was an episode, season 6, episode 8, somebody wrote down beat up Martin, and it auto-corrected to eat up Martha. And it was just like showing this strange little autocorrect fail.
Oh, that's it. Beat up Martin, but eat up Martha.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay. Here are the last two. The Simpsons predicted Team USA's Olympic curling win.
Oh.
In 2010, they predicted that the USA would defeat Sweden, and in 2018, they did.
USA.
USA. You know what I love? That I think throughout most of the year, or every 2 years, it feels kind of... Patriotism is an interesting thing, because it's like, I want to feel patriotic.
Yeah.
I want to be proud of my country. It's a little hard these days.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I do believe that. I do maybe have an optimistic hope that it's just all going to keep getting better and better.
You know, when it comes to the Olympics, I feel very patriotic.
Yes, that's my point.
Yeah. Because it's like,
and when it's Team USA, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, because it's, you know, yeah, and it's these athletes that have worked so hard and dedicated their lives, and they're following their dreams, and it's inspiring. When it comes to like 4th of July, you're like, well, you guys aren't doing a very good job, and the basis of how this country started is very questionable. So I'm not feeling so patriotic, yeah, necessarily on the 4th of July, although I'm very grateful for all that I have for living here. But yeah, Olympics, man. That's when I feel patriotic.
Oh my gosh.
I'm all in.
When I see everybody coming out waving their flags, and everybody's just waving calmly, and then USA comes out and we're loud and crazy. I didn't understand. I remember I was on a cruise when I was 15, and they were asking my background. I made some friends, and they were like, oh, like what's your background? And I kept trying to say, oh, I'm Russian and English and Polish. And they said, no, you're American. And it was the first time that, like, I was like, oh, I guess I am an American girl. Like,
yeah.
They're like, everything about you is very American.
Yeah.
So, when I see us come out at the Olympics, I'm like, oh, no wonder the rest of the world thinks we're either a little, there's another wasp, thinks we're either a little kooky or wants to come live here. Like, you either have an aversion or you're dying to be here. I feel like it's very few. It's like not really in the middle.
No neutral feelings. I remember when I was on my little backpacking trip in Europe, when I went to Greece and some other places, and it was when Trump was not president yet, but it was when he was starting to campaign. It was like Trump and Hillary were both, you know, campaigning, and I was there, and there's just, it was just kind of embarrassing to be from the US at that time. Everyone was talking shit, and I was traveling by myself, and this is when I still lived in Wisconsin, so I still had a very strong Wisconsin accent. People would be like, oh, are you Canadian? And I'd just be like, yeah, because I didn't want to have the conversation, because whenever I was like, oh no, I'm actually, you know, from the US, from Wisconsin, they'd be like, oh, so how about, you know, Hillary and Trump, blah blah blah. I was like, I'm from Canada, don't ask for questions.
Smart.
So that's what my accent sounded like, basically the same thing.
I just remembered one that's not on here that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what was that one again? I already forgot.
The Large Hadron Collider.
Oh, right.
Everybody in the Simpsons episode, I don't know exactly which episode it is, they went to see this machine, mm-hmm. and they said, oh, well, nothing happened, it's no big deal. But then Lisa discovers a little black hole.
Right.
And things start getting sucked into it. And the LHC is making things that are the next densest thing to black holes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they predicted that. And then this one I thought was interesting. So they predicted in 1993, the coronavirus and things that happened right around that time.
Oh, wow.
The Simpsons saw COVID in 1993. They predicted it. So this unprecedented flu mm-hmm. starts moving through, you live in Springfield?
I think so.
And they're asking for help from the government. Like, oh my gosh, people are dropping and people are really sick, and help us. And what ends up happening instead of help coming is a swarm of killer bees. And do you remember when it was the murder hornets? It's like we couldn't catch a break. It was COVID, and then it was murder hornets, and now we're in the thick of COVID again, and now state of California has declared an emergency over monkeypox.
Oh, really? I need to get out more. I have no idea about any of this.
No, you need to stay in more. It's a state of emergency.
An off thing. I was gonna save it for new with me for the next episode because I had such a long one, but you know, I never watch reality television really, and I don't know why I'm watching it, but it's a survival show called Alone. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, it wouldn't be for me. It would stress me out too much.
Okay, so it's like a History Channel show. Season 8 only is on Netflix if you want to check it out. I don't know. I don't know why I'm watching this show. I just felt called to turn it on, and now I'm hooked, and I have to know who wins. But the premise is that they drop you off in these wilderness areas. This particular season's in British Columbia on the Lake Chulco or something. And it's grizzly bear central, tons and tons of grizzly bears. So it's the most dangerous location. Yeah. And you're alone. So unlike like Survivor or some of these other shows where you have a community to build together or, you know, people to work with, you're completely alone. So not only are you surviving, but it's the mental stress of being literally alone. And
No thank you.
And I was watching the show and I was like, you know, I don't have survival skills, but if they just wanted to see how long I could be alone, I could probably win.
Alone, starring Sadie.
And there's this one guy who's on it that he's like, He lives in Alaska, and he lives on this little island, like completely alone and isolated for most of the like for long stretches of time. And then he, I don't know, he also is a teacher, so whatever. But like, you can just tell. I'm like, dude, this guy, same energy. He's just having a good time. He's just keeping himself busy. And other people are like crying, and they're like, I can't take it. I have to go back to my family, whatever. And he's just like, boop, 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 and he's having a good time. And I'm like, that would be me. I love being alone. I love community, and I mean I live for our once a week meetups, but like that's all I need is like a once a week social time, and I get that on Wednesdays with Juliet, so I don't do anything else. I need to do a little bit more, I feel like. But I was just laughing. I was like, I could win this show if it was just about being alone.
Well, if you're on a reality kick, I would highly recommend starting this season of The Bachelorette. There are two bachelorettes, a blonde and a brunette, who are best friends. They've never done this before.
Sounds familiar.
It's very Goddess Hangs energy.
That's fun. I know. I do need to get in on that franchise, but I'm going to watch Selling Sunset. And then I heard the latest season of Love Island UK is really, really good. And I have watched a few seasons of Love Island, and I love Love Island. So I'm going to do Love Island UK after this. But first is Selling Sunset and Alone. Very different, but enjoying them both a lot. Anyways.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to discuss Selling Sunset with you. Irene and I are so deep into that show. And I started watching for the houses, and then you continue watching because the outfits, the fashion just gets more and more over the top.
I wish there was a little more house stuff, but it is still good. Like the first episode, I was like, come on. I thought this was going to be like all, I thought it was like all houses, and it's like 10% houses.
Yeah. If that.
Yeah. But I'm still.
But I watched it. I watched it. And of course, I had the thought that everybody probably has when you first watch that show. It's like, should I be doing real estate?
I know. I was like, you could sell one house a year and have a six-figure salary. This is great.
Do we need a Goddess Hangs real estate license?
Maybe. Next up.
Put a pin in that. We'll put a pin in
next
that.
Next up. Well, we should just start our own group and have other people do the selling, but they're in our group, like the brothers.
We flip houses. Which is flipping?
Which flip?
Flip of the witch.
Call HGTV.
Are you being Lucille Bluth? We're winking if you're listening. Like,
please don't do that again. Lucille Bluth is my favorite character of all time. She's like a mother to me.
I love Lucille.
Okay, is there any more Simpsons must know predictions? Did we cover them all before I took us on a tangent?
No, that was it. And boy, was it a lot.
That's wild. The Simpsons. So what do you think? Do you think the person on that writing team knows they're psychic, or do you think they don't know they're psychic?
I think they don't know.
I think they don't know. Or maybe they, like, I feel like subconsciously they know, but their ego doesn't let them admit it, you know? They're like, I get these senses of things. I don't know. They're very clearly, I mean, as I've stated my theory before, I think all of, like, or not all, but so much of like these like shows and books and stuff, like these authors and writers are channeling something from somewhere. So the Simpson one is just really good at seeing the near future, you know, within the next like 2 decades forward. They see a lot of stuff. So I guess watch The Simpsons if you want to know what's to come.
So look, my wheels are already turning. So not that we need to do a real estate agency.
But Juliet's like, quick pivot, business meeting live on air.
But one day we're going to have, I've decided, a line at Target called Goddess Home.
Yes, so into that.
And there's going to be just all sorts of magical things to like enchant your home and like all this fun stuff.
It's going to be sparkly.
Goddess Home.
It's going to be sparkly. It's going to be pink. It's going to be classy. No, it's going to be cheesy and cool.
It's
going to be maximalist.
It'll be so maximalist. There's going to be disco mushrooms, but with like pink and purple.
Yeah.
On
cherries. We love a cherry moment. Basically, we're just going to look in our house and recreate all of our favorite things in our own way because we have so much cute stuff in our houses.
Goddess home. Let us know. Do you know somebody at Target who wants to get in on the ground floor?
Someone here has got to be able to hook us up. Target, Kohl's.
Just look at the potential, not the analytics, just the potential.
Look, trust
big
us.
Potential.
Big potential here.
Oh my god.
Huge. Ow.
To the huge.
Elbow. Huge. Wow, what a fun episode full of silly Simpson spoofs. I don't know, I was trying to come up with something cute.
from Simpson predictions to shitty days
to big motherfucking life lessons. The title of this week's episode is all the things the Simpsons had predicted plus Sadie's shitty day.
I know. And I said I cursed two times in this episode. That's how fiercely protective I am of you.
The wasp. Don't anger the wasp, everybody. She's got unlimited stings.
I don't know what this move is, but it's my wasp.
You know, I just, you know, it was like I sent a message out to our community and I felt really good about it. And then you send it and you're like, get nervous. You're like, oh no, did I just like make things weird or whatever? And just to receive like a dozen messages from people privately of just saying like, thank you for protecting our community. That was the only sentiment, was just like gratitude and just the trust in us when, you know, maybe you haven't experienced the thing for yourself or you only saw, you know, the nice side of this person or whatever. It's just like, God damn it. Thank you guys so much. You're the best. Like just all the love you sent my way and all of the gratitude. It's just like, it is so wildly appreciated. You have no idea. Like, I feel so safe and so good. And yeah, I have some of this funky energy I still got to shake off a little bit more, but like, you guys have been just literally quantum leaping the healing process for me with your kind words. So thank you everyone who reached out,
and thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. And if you want to join our Patreon community, just be nice to me and Juliet and everybody, and we would love to have you.
It's a very, very simple rule. You learned it in kindergarten.
Be nice, be respectful. It's truly, truly the only rule. It's just be respectful. But we love you all so much. I hope you had fun this episode, learned some big life lessons. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Goddess Hangs. Follow our new venture. We're very excited and new things are releasing very, very soon. Follow us at bizwitch.inc. And guess what? We're on TikTok now and we're having a lot of fun over there. So same exact social media handles on everything, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. Find us at Goddess Hangs, at bizwitch.inc. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at juliet.piper.
And anything else? I'm blanking. Like, what's our usual send off?
No, we just love you. We're so appreciative of you. We have Patreon exclusive retreats. We have so much fun in our Patreon. You're as long as you're nice, you're going to love it. I know it's asking a lot, but no, we have the best community ever. If you're new around here, if you recently found us on TikTok, welcome to the fun.
Welcome. We promise there's it's not usually like this. It's all fun and love.
We'll be back next week with another fabulous episode on Monday, and we wish you a beautiful week, Goddess.
Bye.
Bye.